The Blaze Radio Network. On demand. This is Dr. Zudi Jasser.
Now, I want to step back, take you into sort of to be a fly on the wall, East Lansing, Michigan, May 10th, 2018. Last week, around the country, we've got gubernatorial, senatorial, House elections all heating up. And one of the things I've talked about in this program before is how accountable should we hold Muslim candidates, regardless of party, Democrat, Republican, how accountable should we hold them to their clarity, their transparency about their approach to political Islam and Islamism? Is it enough that they condemn terrorism? Is it enough that they condemn Al-Qaeda and ISIS and radical groups by name even? No. When we're talking about political ideology, your theopolitical ideology matters. And we may, if you run as a free market conservative, the socialist collectivist ideas of your antagonists, of your counterparts, matters. So to call out a political ideology of what appears to be a certain theopolitical ideology of your opponent, if they happen to be Muslim, it's not about them being Muslim, it's about whether they have that particular theopolitical ideology. And Islamism is a political ideology. So just because your candidate, your counterpart, happens to be Muslim and happens to have signed up with the Democratic Party or with the Republican Party doesn't mean that they cannot be accountable to whether they accept or reject Islamism. Does that mean that's a litmus test for every Muslim? Well, I think when, as we talked last segment, we're spending $3 trillion in the last 10 years encountering the root causes, yeah, I think it matters. And Muslims, I think, are not only the best assets and probably the most important assets, they can also be the most harmful in this battle because they give folks the imprimatur of being Muslim, so therefore their opinion about anything Islamic matters and means something. So listen, I as an American Muslim believe that the ideology of the politicians that we battle, the leaders that represent us, matters. And what I want to talk to you about today and what we'll talk about in the next segment or two, let's look in a window into the Michigan gubernatorial election. Let's talk about what they just debated about, not specific issues of a candidate, but let's just talk about one thing that one of the candidates brought up and listen to the response of the other. So in that window into the gubernatorial race in Michigan, you will find a number of candidates. There is a debate forum that happened in East Lansing on May 10th, 2018, and at that you had on the Republican side, you had people like Bill Schwett, Patrick Kolbeck, Brian Coley, Jim Hines, and on the Democratic side you had Bill Cobbs, Abdul Al-Sayed, Sheree Thandahar, and Gretchen Whitmer. So as they sat debating, there was a little interchange that came about, and let's listen to that for a second, if you will. I'm going to play for you first a commentary from Mr. Kolbeck in which he starts to talk about the threat and some of the issues related to the Muslim Brotherhood. And then we'll listen to the response from Mr. Al-Sayed. Now, I don't care what their policies are, what they each think, but there is something very instructive in the dodging and the lack of addressing the exact issue. You can talk about whether Mr. Kolbeck's talking, when he talks about the Brotherhood, whether he's talking conspiracies or not. I obviously have talked significantly about the influence of the Muslim Brotherhood legacy groups and the Muslim Brotherhood originating founding members as laid out in the memorandum. And Kolbeck actually talks about this in this debate. But let me just let you listen to a few things that he said, and then let's look at the unbelievably patronizing response from Mr. Abdul Al-Sayed.
And frankly, this is one of those areas that got me ticked off in regards to the fairness of the media. They pitched this as a comment around concerns around ties to the Muslim Brotherhood as a concern with Muslims in general. of Muslims is not an issue. The issue is with terrorist organizations like the Muslim Brotherhood.
Is Sharia law instituted here in the state of Michigan?
Now, here we have El Sayed responding.
I do solemnly swear to uphold the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the state. That is the oath that if any of us is elected, we will swear to. I take that oath particularly seriously because it guarantees me two things. A, the right to pray as I choose to pray. And for me, that means that I put my face on the ground 34 times a day. Some people choose not to pray at all. And all of those things are equally protected under this incredible document of ours. But in Article 6, it also tells us...
So now he's giving him a constitutional lecture.
Shall be held over.
A question
aiming to serve
about the Muslim Brotherhood turns into a lecture to the people in the audience in Michigan.
My father came to this country believing in an ideal that says that we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all people are created equal. Now, I knew that when I decided to run as the first Muslim American ever to run for governor, that I would face the ugliness of white supremacy.
So now, ugliest of white supremacy when asked about the Brotherhood.
That they swore to, or the Constitution they defend. But the fact is that I serve my country every day, calling it the highest ideal.
Never talk about the Brotherhood. You question his service.
It is such an incredible document.
You question his service. Simply because Kolbeck, one of the other candidates, question his links to the Muslim Student Association, which El Sayed was obviously involved in as a student, and then became an apologist for a number of Islamist organizations in Michigan. Did El Sayed stand up? Now, for you Muslim friends out there, you're going to get these questions. What should the response be? You identify whether you agree with the ideology of the Muslim Student Association. Identify Islamism as an ideological threat. Identify what your position is, separate or apart from Islamism. Bernie Sanders during the campaign was called a socialist. His response wasn't to talk about him being patronized by being excluded from the Constitution. He embraced socialism. He embraced being a democratic socialist and said that that is the solution for the Democratic Party to become more socialist. So El Sayed, when called an Islamist, when an American running against him decides to question whether he has ever made clear what his Islamist ideology is, he decides then to patronize and shout at the audience about how insulting it is that he was treated by a white supremacist in a bigoted fashion. And as you heard Kolbeck, now I'm not going to say that in any way I endorse whatever Kolbeck is doing, or you know, I'm just telling you from a clinical perspective, across the country you're going to see candidates running in San Diego who are Muslim, candidates running in Arizona. One of the Democratic Senate candidates here is Muslim. I think every Muslim, just like the Muslim leadership that is providing information to the Homeland Security operation to create the CVE programs and other things, which is countering violent extremism, which I have a huge problem in. If you're going to become a public leadership that has a leading Muslim with a platform, you should be accountable to whether you believe and endorse Islamist ideology and what your strategy is for countering it. And this is how I'm going to end this segment, with how Mr. El Sayed ended telling his audience about his feelings about Mr. Kolbeck.
This panel decisively and swiftly call out this kind of Islamophobia, this kind of racism in the context, right, that they are running to represent a state that has the highest per capita number of Muslim Americans in the country. Now, you might not hate race Muslims, but I'll tell you, Muslims definitely hate you.
Did you hear that? He ended his question that was asked about whether Sharia law. He was asked in the debate by the moderator whether Sharia law is a threat. And then he responds to the last comment that Kolbeck made was that he loves Muslims but just has a problem with the Muslim Brotherhood. His response is, you might love Muslims, but Muslims definitely hate you. So listen. The reason I'm taking the time to have you listen to this this troll of a candidate is he's telling a large platform in Michigan that Muslims hate him, that the response of the Islamic community when asked about their position on Islamism is to respond not when they're told that they're loved, but they're questioned in their theopolitical ideology, but that they respond with hate. That, ladies and gentlemen, is radicalization. That, ladies and gentlemen, is radical political ideology that will threaten the legacy of Americanism. And he may have cited chapter and verse of the Constitution, but he knows nothing about the Constitution, is actually using it as a weapon in which to advance his own political advancement on a platform of victimization, on a platform of racialization of Islam. And ultimately, I think that there's a lot to be learned here. Americans should take these opportunities. Thankfully, often candidates like this do not get significant response in the polls, but there's an education there. Candidates like this may not be running to actually win the election in Michigan. They may be running to gain that 7, 8, 9, 10% to become the leadership of the Islamist tribal mentality. And they must be exposed for what they are, not whether they are particularly Democratic or Republican, but whether they are an Islamist or not.
Reform This with Dr. Zudi Jasser. Breaching the fault lines of today. The Blaze Radio Network.